NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick and chance for a chance to win 100 times your money. NBA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code GOLFSGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by Royal Retros. Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets, sweatshirts from the old school sports teams that you love. Use promo code SGPN for 10% off your order today. That's code SGPN at royalretros.com. Take 10% off today. All right, D-Gens, welcome back. It's your boy, Boston Gapper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer, and very special guest, John Haselbauer, for the Wells Fargo Championship Best Bet Show. We're coming into a beautiful stretch of golf. John, how we doing, man?
Doing well. It's good to be back. It's been a minute since I've been on SGPN.
But you're happy. A married man now.
Has it been that long? It might have been that long.
I think we talked right after you got married.
Yeah, so I actually went back because I had to do an the draft of like the podcast description. And the last time we had you on was last year's players, actually. So it is then.
We've gone an entire year plus.
I know. I'm not sure how you slipped through the cracks. You're one of our best guests on here.
It's because the fall swing was especially terrible this year. It was hard enough to get myself excited to do a pod, never mind ask someone else to talk about these terrible golf tournaments and take time out of their day.
The real reason is you were in Rochester and did not invite me to go play my favorite golf course in the area in Greystone. So that's
Greystone was an absolute. We were only there by your recommendation, and as Brian has already gone on record, it is the best golf course you can play in the town of Rochester. So that was a great day. We were the first ones out. We were playing in the dew. It was soft. It was receptive. I three putted every green, which is really has nothing to do with the course. It's just like how I play golf, slapping it around, but it was a good time. Great proper links golf course in Rochester.
I mean, the greens legitimately are tough at Greystone though. So don't, if you lost 58 strokes putting that day, just step in line at that point. But it's a really good, considering how, it only costs, I think, like $75 to play for 18, and it's high quality. I mean, they actually had the U.S. Open qualifier there. You can stretch that out to 7,200 yards from the tips there. It's a beast of a course for sure. So
big greens, you can really play around with those pin locations. If you're having a little qualifier, you can make it really tough. You make it really easy. I'm the king at greens and regulation on the wrong side of the green on massive greens. So I probably had like an average. I probably had a good green regulation percent that day, but I probably had an average of like 50 feet per putt on my first putt on every hole there. they really exposed me. I was not firing at pins.
I wish I had the 50 feet worth of putts, because I will always misjudge a club by 5 yards and go over the green. And I'm on the backside on Bermuda, chipping up a hill, trying to get onto the green. And it's going to be two chips, two putts, or three. And there's a quick five for you, boy, before not even countering if I got off the box well. Like, it's I hate Florida golf. I despise it at this point. It makes me angry.
I'm a seasonal golfer, and when it hits winter, I just don't play for 3 or 4 months. Yeah. And I lose my touch. The thing I lose the most is like my lag putting. I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing to get the ball. I'm just vibing it there and it's not even close. And my chipping is horrible. So I figure it out like the last week of the summer, and then I stop playing. And then we do this cycle over and over again.
Yeah. I think that is the plight of any golfer in the Northeast is just, you're right. I mean, I went out last Saturday. My short game was absolutely abysmal. Did chip in for birdie though. So that was fun. So maybe I did figure it out. No, it was probably just all luck at that point. But so why don't, you know, we talk about a beast of a golf course in Grayson. Why don't we talk about a beast of a golf course in Quail Hollow? And one of the things we talked about in our preview show is last year, it seemed like the scoring conditions were a little easier, maybe because of the weather, maybe because of the impact technology. But there's a couple things that they did at the golf course this year that I'm a little concerned about might make it a little easier. They softened a lot of greens. They flattened it out a little bit. You know, you do a great preview over at the lines there. Did any of the changes they made this year like impact at all the type of player you targeted this week, or did it just really not impact anything at all? You just kind of said, okay, you know, Quail Hollow bomber, you know, we're going to go with that.
Yeah. I think especially with it being such a limited field, it didn't really open up a whole new set of players for me to overanalyze this week with it being cut down to, I hate these signature events. The value worst. Pulled straight out of it. So I don't love that.
And how bad No, they're terrible. Like, we need to talk about, like, it's everybody shit on Live for it, and we're doing the exact same thing. Like, I don't know. Like, it just takes all the juice out of it. Like there's nothing for me. Like, if my bets are like none of my bets are really dead. Like, I'm like, oh well, fucking Friday. I still got two rounds I can take a look. Like, I don't know. There's no drama in this shit as far as like a Thursday, Friday mattering, except for whatever your matchups are or your first round leaders. Like, Thursday, Friday don't matter these days because there's no cut. It makes no fucking matter.
Exactly. Yeah. I always explain this, like, how do you get so into golf every single week? And it's like, well, Thursday I've got my first round leader sweats. Friday I've got my cut sweats. Saturday's moving day, and then Sunday it's the final round. So I've got something to root for every week. But when you do these no cut events, it's like, does anything matter before the weekend? Because there's already no value in the first round leader market. That's why I like betting it, because I can bet somebody 80 to 1, 90 to 1 every week. And there's always somebody unexpected who gets out to a hot start, regardless of how good or what course fit they are. It's just kind of random. So that's a fun market to bet. But if there's only 60 people in the field and they all make the cut anyway, it's like, even I have a hard time getting excited about the first couple rounds. And then, you know, you're on to the weekend. Quail Hollow is also a pretty one-dimensional course where you can kind of bomb away, and it's the same type of players who rise to the top of like a US Open or PGA Championship who are great with their long irons and hit it far. Very few surprises recently, although there have been a couple like 500-to-1 bombs that have gone off here too. But again, to your point before, like, when you cut down the field and you remove these dark horses from the field, then it's like, all right, so we're just going to get the good players at the top, most likely. Yep. The one thing that this tournament has going for it is that Scottie Scheffler is not here to just win. So somebody else has to win a big event. And I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, and we lost Ludvig too. I know you were high on him in your preview column, and then you probably have to pivot this week. I'm interested in finding out exactly who you pivoted to. But yeah, I mean, with these signature events, like, I noticed too, like, the odds board just is kind of junk. Like, I had a hard time this week coming up with positionals and even just kind of justifying with the outright market too. You know, we're 1 week away from the PGA. it just doesn't seem like, you're right, there's a lot of juice right now. I kind of went through everybody and say like, okay, like, are you really going to win? You going to win? And it's like, it's kind of, it was really hard for me, I feel like, this week to just narrow down a betting card of guys that I could just stomach the number and kind of fit what, you know, what works here. You know, like you said, you know, driving it pretty good, long irons, all that stuff. So, it'll be interesting to see how we break it down tonight and if we can find any sleepers for, you know, guys this week.
Yeah, so I will take full blame for Ludwig withdrawing, because never in the history of one and done have I ever put a pick in before like Wednesday night. I went ahead and jumped on Monday morning just so I didn't forget. I went ahead and threw Ludwig in for my one and done. So it's my fault because I've never done anything like that before. And of course, he withdraws. So I'll take the blame.
Okay, yep. And you are the first one to cast a stone for mushing too. So you know, you live in a glass house apparently.
I just took credit for it, did I not?
Yes, you did. You did.
I did not deny it. I didn't have to tell anybody that.
You accost our producer every week with that.
It's because he's a fucking mush and he goes out of his way to do it. And like, I'm just glad we don't live near each other, because like some gin and tonic night, I would drive to his house and burn it down. I think. Like, I believe that would actually happen. I make sure his wife and kids get out first, but I definitely burn it down. He makes me so fucking angry.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a good reason why we don't do a cut sweat show, because, you know, Cam would come on and mush something and you would just leave like you do with our group chats.
Well, yeah, because he does it. It's ridiculous. Like, I had to mute. I got to mute the chat. I got to fucking leave the chat. I can't even be around his juju.
Okay. Ridiculous. All right. Well,
let's pay some bills before we jump in anything course wise. So listen, so are you a hardcore baseball fan or just a degenerate sitting in an office? If you're listening to this, you probably are. And you're looking for some afternoon action other than first round leaders on Thursdays. You know, go check out the MLB podcast, MLB gambling podcast. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and boys, get you ready on a daily basis. You know, I'm pretty sure they do, you know, no runs, first innings, first fives, all types of straight DGen shit. So go listen to the boys, Moonoff. And listen, and I know, and Malcolm thinks I don't like British people. Malcolm, listen, I like you, buddy. I don't like British golfers. It's ingrained in me. I'm an Irish Catholic from Boston. I can't help it. I don't even really believe it. It's just ingrained in me over and over again. I'd love to have a beer with you, brother. I heard him talk about it on the horse racing, on the Derby podcast. He thinks I don't like any British people. That's not true.
I mean, you like Terrell Hatton. That's really about it, though.
I love Terrell Hatton. He's the man.
You do.
I even softened on Tommy.
Well, I think he still called him Flaccid Fleetwood.
Well, it's because he is Flaccid Fleetwood, but I don't lose my mind about him anymore.
That's true. You don't. Justin Rose, another story.
Justin Rose sucks. He's just a bad person. His commercials suck. He's a drip.
Bad person. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about a guy you.
What are those fucking? What are those $10,000 golf clubs you switched to?
Oh, Anmas.
Anmas. Yeah. Like, what a prick. Like, anybody who does that's an asshole.
He ended up winning at Torrey Pines in like I think his second start with the Anmas, and everybody said, okay, maybe this will. It probably got a nice little sales bump, and then yeah, his.
Oh yeah.
Just went to complete
sales bump from who? Fucking Wall Street.
I don't know. People like our producer buying training aids online. I think he's going to go from a 12 to a 2 overnight.
What an asshole. I'm going to start sending him all these like golf widgets. He's going to be out there like with the fucking with the slinky on his forehead for the putting and the fucking and like the yeah. He's yeah.
All right.
Cam's he's young and lost in golf. That's why.
All right. Well, enough grab ass between you and me. We have a guest on. Why don't we actually ask him some questions here? So let's start right at the top here. Let's start with the king of Quail Hollow, Rory McIlroy. He has dominated this golf course pre-Tom Fazio big renovation 2016. He has done very well post-Tom Fazio renovation 2016. You know, coming off the big win at the Zurich, he doesn't have Scottie Scheffler to contend with, doesn't have Ludwig Åberg to contend with, but he's got pretty short odds this week. You know, I mean, he's been driving it great. That hasn't been a big issue this year. The iron play seems like it's trending up a little bit. Jonathan, did you find any place for Rory on your betting card? Not necessarily outright for positionals, first round leader, anything that sort of just had some exposure to him?
I did not. I mean, honestly, as much of a joke as the Zurich Classic can be, you have to leave that event feeling pretty encouraged about Rory's game. I mean, he literally shouldered a two-man team on his own. Shane Lowry did everything he could to sabotage that run they made, and Rory covered him at every step of the way. But you know, he's always been great here, and he kind of looked human for the first time at Quail Hollow last year. He finished T47, looked awful here last year. So there's enough there for me to say, all right, maybe I'm not going to hand this to him and he's the prohibitive favorite. Personally, you know, not to go too far into my actual best, but I think I prefer Wyndham Clark and his form and his fit here.
Let's go
straight up. So I'm comfortable fading Rory at Quail Hollow this week. David's last words.
Yeah, okay. So another repeat of LACC where Wyndham beats Rory. I will not have I won't have a Rory ticket this year. So, you know, unlike the US Open where I got my heart broken by him. But all right. So Capper, you like Wyndham Clark this week. Why don't you go into it? Why do you like Clark this week?
I mean, real quick, I will say I have Rory as a first round leader just because I feel like the value on Rory coming out of the gates pretty strong. 18-1. Fine. Like, I'll take that all day. It's more than twice the odds to win the tournament. And he always, if he's going to even be in contention, he stats hot on a Thursday anyway. I can think of a dozen times he's at least been in the top five of the first round leader over the last 2 years. But yeah. So listen, I love Wyndham, man. I mean, if it wasn't for Scotty, how many times would this guy have fucking won this year already? Like, this is like the first time that it's even like respectful number on Wyndham. And I've been losing, right? Because Scotty's been stealing the money. But dude, he's long. He clearly contends in big events. He doesn't care about shortened fields. I mean, look, he might not have held on at Pebble, but that was a great performance. He fucking almost that putt on 18 at TPC Sawgrass was like ripped my fucking heart out. He's that guy, man. Like, there's so many, I don't know, just people that are just so lack of personality, lack of flair, lack of game. And I immediately buy into those guys, especially with his resume. Like, yeah, give me Wyndham Clark all day, over, you know, this is going to come back to bite me, over fucking Xander, right? The guy who is constantly there, right? But figures out a way not to win. Like, Xander's insanely consistent. I have him as a top five and a top 10 this week, but I don't bet him to win. I like Wyndham at the number. I got it before Ludwig withdrew. So 18-1, Wyndham Clark. What was he down to, like 14? I'd still bet Wyndham.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can't really refute anything you said there. Wyndham is not in my card this week for reasons. Just kind of is. I am pivoting to a couple other guys in this range. Why don't we talk about Xander a little bit? John, let me ask you about him. I mean, he's, what, 10-1 this week? Perennial loser, doesn't win. But, you know, kind of like I'm, you know, my co-host mentioned, really consistent. This is a, you know, he probably should have won last year. He kind of choked that away, but really got on Tom Fazio tracks. He's got a win at Kasumi Koseki, another Fazio as well. You know, I ended up going for a top 10 for Xander at plus 135. I just felt like, you know, I'm done doing the outright game, especially when he's 10-1 in a field with, you know, the strongest players the PGA Tour can really offer. But John, did you include Xander anywhere on your betting card too? Or is that kind of laying off as well?
Yeah, I was really like, I finished writing my preview on Sunday and I was like, I only want to bet Ludwig and Wyndham. Those are the only two guys I'm interested in. I think they're going to be pretty good numbers. And that's pretty much the exposure that I put in and outrights every week. They both fit the course great. And I would be very surprised if one of those two aren't there. When I don't know, maybe I'm to blame for Ludwig withdrawing. I bet Zalatoris the week before, and he withdrew like 10 minutes later. So I feel like there's a trend here. I might bet Brooks next week just so I don't have
don't
to actually bet him.
Don't you do it.
Just going to injure him so I can hit the three-peat. But when Ludwig withdrew, my next thought was like, should I just keep this range and bet Xander? And just kind of run back last year. It was clearly a two-man race, and it was Clark and Xander within two strokes going into Sunday, and nobody else was anywhere near them. And Wyndham just hit every putt and separated on the front nine. It was no contest on the back nine. But ultimately, he's 10-1. He doesn't win, so I'm like, I'll spread my exposure out a little bit longer to a couple other losers instead. But the case writes itself for Xander. He's the most consistent player on the PGA Tour outside of Scottie Scheffler and maybe Wyndham, but I would say I'm pretty sure Xander's been even a higher floor than Wyndham has this year.
Definitely.
He hasn't been in the mix with like a chance to win as often as Wyndham has been, but his baseline has been great. So great course makes sense for him. I guess I don't really think of Xander as like a Bermuda guy. If there was one thing I would knock on him, but it didn't really matter last year when he was 15 under and dusted the field outside of Wyndham Clark. So obvious course fit, probably a DFS exposure for me, but didn't make it on my card in the end.
Yeah, I mean, with the overseed too, it can be a little tricky as well. Like this time of year in Carolina, it's kind of, I read in the GCSAA report that it's about 50-50 with the overseed and the Bermuda right now. So, you know, that kind of throws me through a loop. But, you know, I think he did okay. The players this year, that's kind of the same agronomy there. The Valspar, yeah. It's like that overseed as well. It's like transitioning from Bermuda. So, and I know his good buddy, Patrick Cantlay, is a Jupiter guy now. Maybe he just spends a lot of time playing golf down there. He's starting to get used to the Bermuda. So,
well, he himself moved down to Florida this year too. I forgot about that too, but yeah, now he's the adopted son of Florida.
All right. Capper, why don't I talk about, how about Victor Hovland? So let me get your take on him. He's been struggling, but, I think he's only played twice since the Players.
Yeah.
I know you love targeting guys like for fading them in matchups. So are you fading Halvin in a matchup this week?
No. Just because I know he's broken, but I also don't want to put my money on him all of a sudden figuring it out. He's such a good golfer that I don't know. Like I like to take my stands at like two studs against each other where I'm getting like plus money. I don't need Halvin to come out and nuke me. On a course where he can just fucking grip it and rip it and around the green shouldn't matter as much. So yeah, I stayed away from Hovland. He's broken. He's not anywhere on my card, but I didn't target him either.
Yeah, like literally just nothing is going right now.
No, nothing.
I mean, he's still technically positive and off the tee and approach like in the short term, but it seems like firing the short game coach that, you know, kind of brought him to the next level has been not a great move. I feel like I'm not going to try and get too cute with Hovland. I feel like that's the point. And
that commercial is aged super bad too. I don't even know what company it's for, but he's like, some people used to say I was bad at my short game. And he like chips in. I'm like, yeah, dude, you still fucking suck at your short game. You shouldn't have made that commercial yet.
I don't even recall that one. Although maybe it's just because the BB Go 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 commercial is just brainwashing.
Everybody is hating on that shit, man. Like, It's the company's one chance to like guarantee to get in front of like American audiences and push their brand. Like, well, good for them.
Because
they paid for the sponsorship. They should run as many ads as they want.
It's because before the CJ, before CJ was just confined to the fall, and we're all watching football at that point. You know, we're not even really watching. Or, you know, the CJ Cup over in Korea, it's in the middle of the night. I'm the only one crazy. I'll probably stay up for it. But, you know, now that it's in golf season, it's really the only thing on, and they just decide to air it every 20 minutes or so with that annoying jingle that they probably used to torture terrorists in Afghanistan for it. Yeah, I don't know. It was bad.
I still don't understand what CJ is. It's just,
I don't either.
It's just a front for anything, any business in Korea. Like, why wasn't the Bibby Go Byron Nelson? What, like, right. CJ didn't have an advertisement in the whole event. It was all BB Go. Like, why didn't they just promote it under that brand?
I'm not sure.
So it's like a holdings group that just own a bunch of companies. It's kind of like, John, did you watch Breaking Bad?
Yes.
So, you know, the holdings company that owns Los Pollos Hermanos and a bunch of all the fast food joints. I'm guessing it's probably something like that. So,
okay.
Probably some meth ties somewhere in with the CJ group somewhere there.
I don't feel like there's a lot of meth going on in fucking Korea. Seeing how like who's the guy? What was that movie? The Parasite movie won the Oscar, right? And there was an actor on it, and he just committed suicide because he was under investigation for smoking weed.
Saw that
the government was coming down on him for smoking weed, and he killed himself. I'm pretty sure meth isn't prevalent over there.
Yeah. You know, zero tolerance over there. All right. Let's have a couple other guys. So one guy I like this week, and I actually am betting him, and Capper's going to roll his eyes. This is my narrative of maybe Quail Howell is not playing quite as tough as what it used to. Maybe with the advancements in technology, guys are going to, you know, it's not the beast with what it was. And maybe softening the greens, maybe it's going to help. Patrick Cantlay's playing a little better lately. You know, he played good at Harbortown. He did exactly what he was supposed to do at the Masters, you know, gain a bunch of strokes tee to green, can't putt. You know, he's won on a Fazio before. He's been good on these types of tracks. 22-1 for Patrick Cantlay. The only thing I'm concerned about is there's some drama right now with the PGA Tour.
Patrick Cantlay?
Well, besides Patrick Cantlay, but there's some drama right now with the PGA Tour board. And I don't know if there's a direct correlation between bullshit that happens there and on-course performance. So don't really like seeing the rumors that him and Rory are basically having a little bitch fight right now.
I'm 100% on Rory's side. That's how easy it is to make me a Rory fan. Fucking Patrick Cantlay. Talk about a drip with no personality. Just an absolute asshat of a human being. I despise Patrick Cantlay.
I know you do. But he's overdue to win a golf tournament. And he's starting to play a little better. So, and if he is doing what he's doing, you know, he's a good fit for here, theoretically. He hasn't really shown up in the results other than the President's Cup. But I like the number. I like his form coming in. Doesn't seem like anybody's really on him. So I bet him. And then, John, I want to ask about Max Homa. So seems like momentum coming into Valhalla. Obviously, he's won here before. Do you think... Yeah, you could probably play the narrative game with him of, you know, trying to peak for the PGA, winning this week. I don't know. What do you think about Max Homa this week? I know you didn't bet him, but, you know, do you like his? I'm assuming he's probably going to be pretty chalk. Is that going to be good chalk, or do you think maybe, you know, maybe fade him a little bit?
Yeah, I actually did, in fact, bet him. Minute. Did a little bit of reevaluating everything because I didn't originally intend to, but I had to fill the void that Ludwig left behind. So I really just chased event history here with Wyndham and Homa is how I started. Homa also won at Potomac, which is totally different golf course, but it's Wells Fargo vibe. So he's in good company under the Wells Fargo brand. I think he looked great at the Masters and he never looked good at the Masters. A little bit of a disappointment at the RBC the next week, but I didn't really have much to expect out of him there. And he's just he won here. His first career win was here, right? Yep. A lot of comps to like Wyndham Clark's year last year with how Max Homa came up here. So somebody who just scores well in par fives, usually long term, sneaky long, hot putter. Like if he just gets the putter going, he can win anywhere. I don't know. I think this is more of like a course history play for me, but I just like his game and I think he's showing the right signs. You look around him in this price range. I like him a little bit better than JT. Who else is around him? Like Fleetwood, Fitzpatrick. I definitely like him more. Yeah. More like I get that Morikawa just keeps doing it on these long courses that like he shouldn't. But I'll take home a heads up over Morikawa on a course like this.
I would too. I stand by my take that Colin Morikawa is a COVID golfer and he can't do it with fucking fans around. Okay. I have not been proven wrong yet.
It's not a bad take.
There was a lot of fans in Japan, but it was in the middle of the night. You didn't see it. So clearly it didn't happen.
Didn't count. I didn't hear the tree fall. So. No.
All right. Well, John, Well, I also joined you on Homa. I also bet Homa outright. Those are my top. I bet two guys under 30. It was Cantlay and Homa for all the same reasons you just said. I also feel like I mentioned that narrative streak. I kind of had it in my head that he was already, I think, going to be insanely popular bet for next week at Valhalla. And what if he wins this week? And then it's just like out of control. Homa's time, everything like that, and then he just kind of falls flat on his face. So maybe this is me because I have a future on Homa to win at Valhalla at 45-1. Maybe this is, you know, subconsciously maybe a hedge against that in case he ends up doing that. But He's won here before, playing great, great driver, has some adequate length, great on the par fives, good putter. He's putt actually pretty well in the oversee, and they actually put Tiff Eagle on the greens for this year. That's another change. He's been pretty good on those surfaces historically. So I joined you on Homa for the outright this week.
Okay. Interesting.
All right.
Well, fuck both of you. All right. Before we jump into any deeper range, remind me to come back. I have a question about Wyndham Clark too. I'm going to talk to you guys about Underdog Fantasy, the NBA playoffs out here, and our sponsor. Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing a pickup game is as simple as selecting a higher or lower on player stats, like points, rebounds, assists, etc. Make entries of all basketball and mix and match across your favorite sports. You win 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun, and it's available in 30-plus states, including Cali, Texas, and even Canada. So they do a new customer special where you get a pick'em special in the lobby when you sign up, and they'll be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash, airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow Underdog Picks on Twitter and keep an eye out. So Underdog is available in 30-plus states, like I said. Plus, they just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. And make sure you use promo code GOLFSGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code GOLFSGPN. Has anybody...
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ever defended here, back-to-back?
It could have happened. I can't think of one in recent memory.
Me either. That's the only thing give me pause on Wyndham. I know it's stupid bullshit, but I already bet it. I was just wondering.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a great reason to. I mean, there's other reasons not to bet Wyndham, but that doesn't seem like one.
Yeah, I think there's right. Legs to that with Augusta, where you have everything else that comes with it. But right. I don't know. He's U.S. Open champion coming back to this other event that he won. Like, I don't think he's going to get too swept up in whatever being a Wells Fargo previous.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah, and this is actually, I think, Wells Fargo's last year doing the tournament anyway. So I think they're probably going to mail it in with the activations and, you know, everything like that. So maybe he will be a little more focused.
Not a fan of Wells Fargo either. They screwed me over pretty big once in my life.
They screwed over a lot of people.
Yeah, I had to sue them for business tort, and I actually won.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Well, good riddance.
What were the odds on that before the judgment?
Ooh, buddy. Listen, I ended up taking a settlement because they were wearing me the fuck out with attorney's fees. And I was like, this cannot go on forever. I'll just take the settlement, please.
All right. Let's move past 30. Let's go 30 to 1, like 50 to 1. Let's start talking about a couple guys in there. John, a couple popular names this week probably is going to be Saeed Theegala and Cam Young. Both of them drive the ball really good, playing really well. Both of them been really close to winning this year. Do you have a preference between either Scythe or Cam Young this week at Quail Hollow?
Yeah, I also bet Cam Young. I feel terrible about it. I bet him at Valspar. I know who he is. But I think it's a good number. I think he's like a top five form player in this field. Winston-Salem adjacent course here, a little pseudo Carolina home game for the kid. His ball strike is just...
That's a stretch.
It's a stretch, but he also claims all in New York, so he gets that liberty.
Yep.
He sucked at RBC Heritage, where I also bet him. So it's one of these things where, like, I'm really not stuck. I'm not like FOMO betting him. I'm just looking at the board, and I don't think the board is really adjusting on how well he's been playing, especially on courses like this. This is a major like setup. It's literally a major venue, and will be upcoming in the next rota. So it plays like a US Open PGA Championship hybrid. He plays well at those events. We know that. It's not a putting contest. I think that favors him. He's long, one of the longest hitters in this field. The last like six or seven winners at this event have been top 10, top 15 in driving distance leading in, which is his greatest strength. So I know he can play well at the RBC Heritage, where he disappointed in his last start, but this is really his bread and butter. So I'm going to look past his last start and know that he's coming off back to back top 10s before that. So he's a good player. I think it's still a pretty decent number around like 35 where he is now.
Okay. I think the number is good. So I looked at him as well just because of the number. Like, I think he's a gutless loser. But I think most of these guys are gutless losers. So I stared at that number for a minute. I went back to him at RBC as well. But I actually took Sahith instead. It was between those two for me. One, right? So look, both of these bets fucking lose anyway, so I at least want to have fun rooting for someone. So I like him. I like watching him golf. This is a place where, you know, some young studs can win, right? And long as hell off the tee, great personality. It did frighten me a little bit. Steve, I know you're not on Twitter. John, did you see that he shaved his beard because he missed the cut? His girlfriend posted it. He shaved his beard.
I did not know this. The reverse Scotty.
And it doesn't look right.
It's not passing the eye test.
He needs to put that beard back as soon as possible. I think this is a really good spot for him. He's 60-1 next week at Valhalla, and he's only 30 here in a non-cut field. I think this is a great golf course for him. I like rooting for him, and he's the same price as fucking Tommy Fleetwood and guys like that. Like, give me Sahith, give me the young up and comer who crushes the fucking ball.
Okay. All right. I will split the baby then between you two. I bet both of them.
Oh, shit.
There you go. I didn't bet anyone under 21. So, I looked at this range and, I've seen Justin Thomas's number get steamed up. I'm just not buying that he is fully back. Hideki hasn't played in a month. Fitzpatrick, I considered, but didn't go with him. Spieth is definitely a hard no. Considered Finau, but am I really going to bet an outright on Finau? He doesn't really look like he's in any position to win currently, even though he's hitting the ball okay. So I am on Sahith and Cam Young for basically all the reasons you guys said. You know, they both have length. The course history hasn't been all that good here, but it's probably small sample size, and there's really nothing to their games that makes me think they can't. Both of them are pretty decent from over 150. That's good to look at this week as well. So, I got Sahith and Cam both at 35. I'm a little concerned about Tagala. Seems to be pretty popular this week, and probably Cam Young seems pretty popular this week. But hey, you know what? Sometimes, community wins.
I mean, look, when the overall narrative is going to be fucking grip it and rip it, these guys are going to be popular, right? And we got to remember that we're in a very, very niche echo chamber, right? Like, if you think about the liability that the books had on Scotty, the Masters, do you know a single person that we interact with that bet Scotty 4-1? No, but the books got fucking crushed because everybody else was like, oh, easy fucking money. And I think we overthink things a lot, which is clear. And just because our group thinks because they fit the skill set, then I don't necessarily. We've had community wins. I think that ship is kind of sailed. It's like the most tipped, like Seamus Power. Like when it's that week, it's like, oh yeah, Seamus is going to come out of the woodwork this week. Yeah. When it's a good player, fine. But when it's like some fucking scrub who pops on everybody's fucking model, that's a completely different
thing. Or Peter Cruz last week.
Yes, there we go. Perfect. Perfect example.
There's just only so many guys to choose from in a field of 60, and like no one in the community is going to bet Rory single bullet. So like everybody just tends to fall on a few names in the 20 to 30 range.
We all
think there's anything more to it than that.
Yeah, our own binky losers. Like, oh, this bet makes me feel nice and fuzzy on a fucking Wednesday.
Yep. It's all about how the betting card looks, fellas. That's the name of the game in this industry. So no one wants to put out a Rory 7-1. No one wants to probably put out a Alex Noren 35 or 40-1 either. That is probably one of the worst
bets that is gross
anyone could make. But he is playing pretty good.
Shut up. You did not bet Alex Noren to
win. No, I did not. I think that was the most shocking thing I saw this week was just, I know he's playing good, but this has been a guy in our life for so long that just doesn't win. And he's 35-1 in a signature event. Like, come on.
I think he's my age. I think he's fucking 40.
He's 40. He's going to be 42 next month.
He's older than I am. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He has to have the record for most PGA Tour starts without a win, right?
Oh, he's got to. Well, no. Oh, well, probably because what's his nuts left for fucking Liv? Who is this? Who's the scumbag that we always used to hate?
Well, I mean,
he's got way more starts under his belt than Tringali, right?
But Tringali, I know he's been
splitting between the Euro Tour and this, but
it might be might actually be Fleetwood, actually.
It could be.
Well, because they, I think Noren came over here. Because he was on the Euro Tour for a while. I think he came over here fully around the same time as Tommy. So it could be Fleetwood.
That's fucking funny.
All right. Anybody else in this range between like 30 and 50-1, John, that, you know, kind of piqued your interest, either maybe positional market or head-to-head matchups this week? Anybody else you like in this range?
The only other guy towards the end of that range, I got him at 60, but I think he's right at 50, is Corey Connors. You know, doesn't win, but he gets himself in the mix and played really well here last year, played great at Oak Hill, plays good, just randomly is good in majors, but not good enough to win, but like it plays himself in the mix. Great ball striker, great long irons, elite long irons, doesn't putt well. This isn't a putting contest. So, it's a good number, I think, where he's drifted to, and he's sort of the last name in that range where I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he won the Wells Fargo.
So I have Connors on my card, not as an outright winner, but I have him going against Hoagie in a matchup where I got fucking even money, and Hoagie's course history here is terrible. Connors is good, and I just don't trust Tom Hoagie at all. Ever. And I feel like, like you said, it's not a putting contest here. Like everything said about Connor. So that I only have two matchups, and it was him, and then I took the other guy, this who I thought about betting outright, but then I remembered he's not going to win. I took Benny Ann over Spieth. And believe it or not, I had to lay fucking juice. What world do we live in where I'm laying juice with Benny Ann over Jordan Spieth? It was -115. Spieth is a goddamn roller coaster. The only thing that terrifies me is it's a no out of that, so he might be able to pull a couple rounds together. But Benny Ann is super sneaky long. Like, I had no idea how long he was until I actually looked into it. I think he's been playing really well. I think the 15 cents of juice is worth the squeeze against Jordan.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Ben Ann's course history here isn't all that good, but I think he's a different player right now as far as how he's doing heat of green, how he's hitting his irons, adding length as well. So, you know, maybe that's somebody who's gonna, you know, maybe pop a little bit this week. I didn't have Ben on my card because I just, the positional market, those prices just didn't really look all that good for me. And at the end of the day, I don't really trust Ben on, but as far as a profile of guy, he was on, you know, my radar this week. All right, let's move past like 60-1, John.
Well, yeah, before we get into the long shots, let's pay our final bill. Royal Retros, looking to prove that you know ball. What better way to showcase your old school fandom than with some old school gear from a classic team? Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets, sweatshirts, and more from vintage sports leagues and the teams that you know and love. The Dirty Bird, the Orange Crust, or Sack Exchange all make for sick jerseys for real fans. Use promo code SGPN for 10% off your order today. That's SGPN at royalretros.com to take 10% off today. So my teams don't really have any old retro. I know like the Bruins claim there's retro jerseys, but they're really not. They all look like they're supposed to be. So my only retro jersey is Pat the Patriot, which I like so much better than my current uniforms. John, what retro team jersey hat do you like the most out of your squad?
I actually think it's Syracuse. I got one of these guys. Like the old script, little vintage. But you're right. I mean, the Yankees are sort of the same thing. The Knicks haven't really changed their logo. No. Islanders have like that kind of like Islander dude. That's okay, but it doesn't look nice. And the Giants have also not really changed their... The Giants have some pretty good vintage stuff. They used to be a little more like red and light blue, like the Lawrence Taylor. I like those too. But yeah, vintage, I'm going Syracuse.
Dave, Syracuse, same answer.
Yeah, probably Syracuse, or I mean the Giants too. But I mean, speaking of those, that Giants logo, so that where it's just the Giants across the helmet with the dark blue with the red stripe there, cool. I love when they bust those out, because they just, that's when I started watching football, is, you know, there you go. In the 90s, late 80s there, good memories. And then they've been pretty shitty for about a decade. So it's nice when they bring that back. It brings me back to the days of Phil Sims, Rodney Hampton, Lawrence Taylor. You know,
you Giants fans are so fucking weird, man. You have won two Super Bowls in the last, 20 years? And you guys act like it's... Franchises would kill to be the Giants. Not my franchise, because mine is so much better. But the most franchises would kill for two Super Bowls. And you guys bitch and moan and complain.
Like,
you guys
I'm not complaining. Like
the worst. Terrible.
It's such a blessing being a Giants fan, because the 2 years
we won
the championship, we were so mediocre. And now every year we're mediocre. It's like, well, if that team won a championship, we just need to get hot in the right moment. You know, that's so it's true. Actually the best situation as a fan.
I like it.
Anyone could be Eli Manning for a four game stretch.
Just like Daniel Jones, he can be Eli Manning every once in a while.
Unfortunately,
too. Do you guys watch the Brady roast?
I did not.
Clips. I have to watch a little bit.
Both of you guys have to watch this thing. It is they're on cue with Dieter asked. It's the best thing Netflix has ever fucking put out. I could not believe. Like off the jump, I thought it was going to be so lame. Like I didn't throw it on to like 11 something after our podcast. I was like, it's going to be super toned down and lame. The first 5 minutes, Kevin Hart just goes in. And I'm like, oh, we are in for a fucking treat. I stayed up until fucking like 2:30 in the morning watching this thing. It is great. You guys absolutely need to watch it. Peyton killed, Belichick killed, Nikki Glaser killed, so many people killed. Tom Segura and Brett Kreischer did terrible. I like Segura.
Affleck, as unfiltered of a roast as I've seen from a Tony.
Yeah, it was great. Tony Hedgecliffe was great. Ben Affleck was fucking terrible. I'm pretty sure he's back drinking again. That shit made no sense. Anybody who hasn't watched it yet, do yourself a favor, watch it in chunks because it's way too long. But it's absolutely worth it. Belichick clearly still hates Kraft too. Like just death dagger stares. Like unbelievable. Like watch it out.
Okay. All right, let's transition back to golf. So why don't we start looking past like 60-1 or so? You know, I mean, we've had Wyndham Clark, who we didn't know it at the time, would end up being one of the best golfers in the game. Same thing with Max Homa back in 2019, winning at I think 400-1 odds. So long shots can happen here. Obviously, it's a limited field, a little better field here. But John, who are some long shots maybe you like this week? You're targeting the outright market or positionals. Who are some of your sleepers that you like down the board this week?
Yeah, I think I didn't go any longer outright wise than Connors, but I did put top 20s on Seamus Power and Griot just on the course history. Both of them have never missed a cut here. I know you can't miss a cut this week, so that will continue. But they've never looked bad here, and obviously they've gone against worse fields than they'll see this week, and comparatively they're not expected to do as well as they probably were going into those weeks. But both in decent enough form makes sense why they would fit the course like this. I think Seamus Power especially, is the ball striking looks like it's back and he's just not hitting putts, and Seamus Power is like a good putter, especially in this part of the country around Bermuda. Like we've seen him spike that way, so wouldn't surprise me if he got a hot putter this week. And not if he contended, yes, I would be surprised. But a top 20 in a field of 60 feels doable for Seamus Power.
So he had great course history last week, too. And listen, I've been on Power early this year. Every time I saw him 201, 251, I was like, I'm betting him. And he would contend. And then he got one weekend, he got the a Keith Mitchell stank on him on that Sunday. They completely derailed him because Keith Mitchell played one of the worst rounds I've ever seen when he had the lead, and it rubbed off on his playing partner. Top 20. What'd you get? What'd you get, Sheamus, for top 20?
Sheamus top 20 was 350.
Oh shit! All right, I'm gonna jerk on that one. I've put so much money into goddamn Sheamus power this year already.
And actually, I forgot about Pendrith. I was surprised Pendrith is like not like juiced this week. Like it's as if he didn't play last week. There's still good value on Pendrith. If they're like, he would be the sort of like Wyndham Clark equivalent, like breakout in a big event, has the distance and played well in big events before this. I don't think he's going to go on the trajectory of being a top 10 player by any means. I think he kind of showed us who he is last week and just accidentally won that tournament because nobody else wanted to. But he's talented. Obviously, he played on the President's Cup team at Quail Hollow. Didn't play well, but has seen this course in that environment. So I think I'm not going to say floodgates at all or anything close to it, but like he's coming in hot and he might have a little something else to prove this week because he didn't like go out and win that event. It just kind of fell in his lap. So he might want to like justify that he actually is good and worthy of
winning. I like that narrative street. I can find that.
Okay.
I can find that narrative street. So I took another bum who's just like Pendrith, who played even worse on fucking Sunday. Jake Knapp at 3-1 top 20. Same thing, right? Grip it and rip it.
I was on Knapp last week.
He cannot play under pressure. I don't think he's going to have much pressure this week, but his playing style absolutely fits here. And fucking 3-1 for a top 20 in the 60-man field, all day. All day I'll make that bet.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I made a couple bets and some positional guys down here. I'll just throw out a couple names. Hat tip to Dieter, who has been shouting in our comments about Adam Shank. Well, you know what? Fine. I will talk about Adam Shank here. Yeah, he's just playing pretty good golf right now. Driving the ball really good. Has more length off the tee than you would think. The iron play's been really good. Just keep rolling with the form, I feel like. I think he's got two missed cuts, but I think he's got a top 10 here as well. So he's got a little bit of upside. So I think Adam Shank is worthy of consideration for a positional. I think Sepp Straka maybe in the market as well. Come off, you know, he played well at Harbortown. Doesn't have a great course history here, but he's driving the ball really good. The long irons are pretty good with him as well. So if you're just looking for like a prototypical type of player who might do well here, that might be a good fit. Kurt Kitayama, I did bet a top 20 on him. He's just been playing solid golf, tee to green for the most part this year. Been a little bit under the radar, but you know, he's long off the tee. You know, he's pretty good long iron player. He's got, I think, a runner-up finish at Congaree, which is a Tom Fazio also in this neck of the woods. I like that little Fazio connection there, too. So I think he's worthy of consideration for positionals. Taylor Moore just playing solid golf as well. He's pretty long off the tee. He's got some pop. I think he's got a top 30 finish here last year. That can play well. And then how about Cam Davis? He's really far down the odds board. He's like 120 to 1 this week. But, I mean, you and I saw it, Capper. He had, he played pretty good at the Masters a couple weeks ago. You know, he played, you know, T18 at Bay Hill, T20 at the Houston Open, T20 at Pebble Beach. So he's been playing pretty good golf so far this year. He's obviously got length, played really good at that President's Cup at Quail Hollow a couple years ago as well. So, you know, I think maybe
7-1 top 20.
Yeah. You know, he's got talent. You know, he finished fourth at Oak Hill last year, so we can do on these long, beefy PGA Championship type setup golf courses. So I like Cam Davis, in the positional market this week as well.
I like that. I'm gonna back you on that one. I like that 7-1. That's a fun price for a fucking top 22.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's a good number.
All right. Well, everybody's been waiting for John's first round leaders. I think the weather, when I looked at it, might be a little windy on Thursday, but do you have those locked down for everybody that you can give out your first round leader card this week?
I do. Perfect segue for none other than Cam Davis. my favorite first round leader bet.
I cashed him a couple, what was it, like 2 months ago? I cashed.
Yeah. No, he's in that sort of like, he's in that bucket that like Russell Henley, Keegan Bradley, Cam Davis, Aaron Rye, like, they come out to hot starts and then they come down to earth. So interestingly, like more of a positional course guy, despite having the length that he does. But like you mentioned, he's played well at Oak Hill. He's had results here, played great at the Masters. So we know he has that in his game. He can get streaky with the irons and the putter, and he's long. So love his fit here. I also bet Griot, first round leader, another guy who's just knows the course well, in bad form. He's like 90-1 in the field of 60 people. So I'll take that. And I took Jaeger and Straka. So I had four first round leaders this week.
Okay.
All guys with a little plus distance, decent Bermuda history, streaky guys. Not none of them on my outright card, but just guys that I think can flash early.
From what I remember with Straka, he got out to a surprise first round lead at another Tom Fazio course at the Olympic course a couple of years ago. That was pretty unexpected. I think, Cameron, didn't you bet Straka first round leader for the Olympics?
I did.
So there you go. I'm bringing back happy memories for you. You got to go back to the well then. He's a Fazio first round specialist.
I'm absolutely going back to the well on that.
Kasumi Gaseki?
People who are.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
Man. I remember that.
But people who are new, whoever listened, John is a complete degenerate with first round leaders, just like I am. We lost our favorite guy, Muniz, to Liv. I am so disappointed with his play over there, because I have continued to bet him first round leader over there, and he has not paid off for me.
He was literally the first round leader last week.
And so, he's been playing okay over there.
Last week, I didn't bet a single Liv bet because I was wrapped up in the Bruins and Steve didn't do the Liv pod with me. And I was just watching the game and I completely forgot what time Liv was teeing off. And I was like, oh, fuck, I missed it. I was watching the Bruins.
You know what? I would have sold you on Leishman last week and you would have, you know, had the same heartbreak at 2 a.m. like I did. So, you know, it's probably a good thing that we didn't do a Liv show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that probably wraps up for Wells Fargo. Why don't we quickly talk about the PGA? So we got that Valhalla next week. John,
Time out.
Okay.
I'll talk to John about Myrtle if he's got some Myrtle picks.
I'm gonna go on mute because I got nothing to say.
Oh man.
I don't know anything about this golf course, John. Do you?
I'm about to have a 500-word preview goes out tomorrow. Let's go. Maybe a paragraph. What is it? Robert Trent Jones senior course, 7,400 yard par 71. Plantation style, sort of, you know, your typical Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Bermuda base. It's always a fairways. I've been to a bachelor party once.
It's one of the grossest places in this country.
Grossest?
Yeah.
I think that is where Spirit's main hub is, Spirit Airlines. And I think that's all you need to know about.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world.
It's a town that really revolves around golf. Like they might have one of the most golf courses per square capita in Myrtle Beach. So it's like appropriate for them to have a tournament. They deserve this.
They do.
I hope everyone didn't have to fly Spirit Airlines, because I think that actually is the only way you can get there if you're not flying private.
There's no fast way to get to Myrtle, man. When I lived in Savannah, like I went up there and there's no fast way.
Yeah.
Like you think, oh, it's one state up. No, it's fucking one state up and then like 3 hours fucking to the ocean. Fucking wild.
Yeah, so everyone's going to be flying in on Spirit. Their clubs are going to be destroyed, so you might want to take the guys who can drive there. This is South Carolina natives might be an angle here. I haven't even made a bet yet, but if I had to make a pick, I would say Justin Lauer is the one guy who he could win a tournament like this. He just seems to play well enough to beat the guys who are like him but can't outplay like actual PGA pros. They're not in this field. So I think this is a good opportunity for Justin Lauer, birdie maker. I think you have to be a little accurate at this course. You can't really spray it because it's like swamps and plantations everywhere. So you want driving accuracy, iron play, Bermuda history. I would say like PGA National and Congaree were two of the courses that I were looking at that were like, this is sort of reminded me of some sort of hodgepodge between those, maybe a Valspar you throw in there for this part of the country. That's as far as I've gotten with my research. So
it is insanely ironic that you picked Justin Lauer. Do you remember? You shook me to my core one podcast. I don't know if Steve was here. I don't know if you remember what you did to me, but you completely changed the way I thought about DFS golf. I was talking about Justin Lauer. And you said, how many times have you seen him swing a golf club? And I was like, oh fuck, like maybe twice. And I wasn't even sure if it was twice. I was like, I am completely relying on these goddamn spreadsheets. I've never seen this man swing a golf club. You ruined me for like a month on how I thought about fucking golfers. Yeah, so that's hilarious that you said it. But yeah, I'm on Lauer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean,
the eye test is important.
Yeah. And listen, Justin Lauer, I mean, it's probably based on what you described, not a comp course, but hey, listen, he almost won the Fortnite a couple of years ago. That's also Robert Trent Jones. So, you know, maybe an RTJ specialist there.
We'll okay. See.
All right, there you go. Maybe put that little nugget in your
your pre. And I have so I bet Novak and Schmid because I'm pot committed on both of those fucking losers too.
I'll probably be there on Novak too.
But Novak's I'm positive money on Novak because he was cashing so many top 20s for me this fucking year so far. Like the outrights haven't hit clearly, but the top 20s have paid nice, and he was getting like 4 and 5 to 1s there for a little bit.
Yeah. All right. John, any early leans for the PGA as far as types of guys you're looking for? Any bets you laid for next week already?
I haven't bet anyone yet. It's interesting you brought up Cantlay because this sort of seems like he keeps winning the BMW Championship, and Valhalla reminds me of some of these recent classical BMW Championship courses. He always plays well at them. So if there's going to be a type of venue that Patrick Cantlay picks up his first major at, I feel like it's going to be one of these classical type of venue. So I'm keeping an eye on Cantlay this week. If he looks great, then I'll probably pull the trigger on him begrudgingly. I'm not going to feel good about it. But I'm looking at that. I haven't put anything in. Obviously Brooks is getting steamed. I met him at the Masters and that was very disappointing, but it seems like now he's back. So, that could be a thing. I wouldn't feel great about that either. I think about Rahm as well. I know he's been sort of like above average on LIV, but this is again the type of venue that he should do well at. So if we're going to get a discount on Rahm and he drifts sort of like he did at the Masters before he won there, I feel like that could be an interesting angle. Again, like Olympia Fields, I think is going to be a pretty solid comp for Valhalla in a lot of ways. So that's sort of where my mind is at right now, but I'm going to. And Ludwig was actually the other guy who I was like, I could see myself betting him, but now he's injured. So like if his odds drift very far and he's passing the eye test on the range and he's actually totally fine, it was just precautionary why he drew this week. That's another name that I'm kind of looking at for next week.
Yeah, I said back in December when I did a preview show with Andy Lack talking about Valhalla, this is put up or shut up for Cantlay next week. It's a Jack Nicklaus course where he's won, I think, 4 times in his career on Nicklaus courses. Bankgrass greens with greens that don't seem like they're overly complicated or undulated. It seems like he's had a little trouble on some really fast undulating greens. I think he's going to be able to putt pretty well there. He's had success on Zoysia as well, and they just resurfaced all the fairways there. And yeah, it's really driver heavy. If he doesn't get himself in the mix at least next week, doesn't have to win, but like just fighting for, like, you know, within a couple shots on Sunday, then he's never going to do it. This is basically teed up for Cantlay at this point, this type of golf course. And if he's not in the mix, like, just don't even ever bet him outright again. He's not doing it.
Yeah. So you guys can shit in one hand and wish that Cantlay will actually win a major in the other. You can figure out which one's going to fill up first. It's not going to be the wishing.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. That's it. John, thank you for joining us. Why don't you tell us where we can find you? Give a couple plugs before we get you out of here.
Yeah, great to catch up again since the players with you guys. Thanks. Thanks as always for having me on. You can catch me up at thelines.com. Every now and then I put videos up now. I'm actually in the process of, we're getting ready to move to Long Island to a house. I've been very preoccupied. This will be one of my last shows with this backdrop. I'll have to see how I can translate this into a house. So I've been a little preoccupied. I haven't been able to do as much on camera stuff. So that's why I'm happy to do this with you guys. But my written stuff, article previews on on Sundays, player long shot write-ups and final card bets will be up tomorrow. And this week I'll have two final bets articles, that one for Myrtle and one for Wells Fargo.
Okay. Nice. All right. Great. Thank you very much.
Kat, you got anything else to pitch for HBO?
Oh,
anything we need to go watch?
So actually, at the start of this year, I actually moved accounts of my HBO days have ended, and I'm now on Uber.
All right.
I'm on Uber, so stop ordering DoorDash and use Uber Eats as your go-to food delivery app. Get your groceries on Uber Eats, get your food, get your supplies, reserve your trips to the airport with Uber's extensive mobility products. I'm an Uber company man now.
Love it.
The Jinx part two is also out. So if you want to keep watching HBO, you should watch that.
That's great. I've already binged that. And then Hacks came out as well, which I'm a big fan of. Third season of Hacks. I fucking love that show.
Yeah, Hacks is good. You're not the target demo, I can confirm.
No, I am absolutely not the target demo. Yeah, but love it.
It's a good show.
All right, John, we love having you on, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you again in the future. Steve and me will be doing a YouTube only hole by hole preview Saturday night, and then we'll roll into a pod. And then Steve, I think we'll probably be solo on Tuesday. So
yeah,
I'll leave you guys for a major, but God.
Well, look, I mean, so with the YouTube preview that we're going to do, if you wanted to just celebrate Kentucky culture, it is the podcast for you. We will absolutely talk about everything the great state of Kentucky offers, because Valhalla is going to shove that down your throat next week with everything they've been doing with that club. So stay tuned. We will talk about all of that on Saturday.
Yeah, and then Steve, well, he won't be solo. I think he's going to try to get Powers on, because I will more than likely be at the Bruins-Panthers game 5 down in Sunrise, Florida. I love you guys. I love golf, but I love my Bruins, and I will always take the opportunity to go to a playoff hockey game. So with that, we will see you guys on Saturday. Let's fucking go.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.